Lord, helping us. Again, I would seek your attention to the Gospel as recorded by John, chapter 8 and verse 32. The 8th chapter of John's Gospel and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We tried this morning service to speak first of the truth that you and I shall come into the possession of and instructed by concerning our own selves. That revealing of the fallen state of our own soul. That being born sons and daughters of Adam, we inherited death and a dead state and an unregenerate spirit. This is spoken to believers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. And so the truth of that is made known to believers, and it's one of the evidence of being a believer. I think it was Philpott, I said before, one of the first evidence of faith is to believe we're a sinner. And that truth you and I shall know if we are Christ's. The Lord help us this evening to look at this word in its promise, because it's a most sacred promise. It can never be altered, it can never be removed. As we quoted, I think, in prayer, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And this precious promise shall never pass away. It will be by these means that the Lord's dear people in all generations shall come into the knowledge of the truth and the effects and blessing of that truth unto their soul. It shall bring them into this sacred place, and the truth shall make you free. How much is truth today? If you get away from the gospel, my friends, you have a hard job to find the truth amongst men. Oh, Satan will have you and I to believe a lie, if so it suits his purpose. And our old nature would fall into that place and spot. And oh, how solemn, we said this morning, how solemn it must be to be deceived. The truth will never deceive you. But that which goes as counterfeit for the truth will. And whichever way you look at it, my friends, only the truth. It is what a child of God desires. Because he wants to be right. He must needs to be right, because he faces an eternity and the sandy ground of the word of man or of the ways of Satan, my friends, will never be a comfort to him on his dying bed. But you know the truth, and you can die on it. The truth that concerns Jesus Christ. You know that by the Spirit of God instructing you and teaching you, you will rest in that last day of your life upon the truth as it is in Jesus, and you will die and go to glory. It is said, or it is written of Jacob, having blessed his family, he then had nothing to do but die. If your resting place and mine in that moment an article of death is the truth that it is in Jesus. You'll die and go to glory, and you'll be willing to do so. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I think we said this morning something to this effect, that the truth shall be revealed to the people of God. It will be shown them by the blessed Spirit of Truth. He shall reveal it to them, and they shall go after it. They shall seek for the knowledge of it. Because here is not just the truth, but the knowledge of that truth. Many are satisfied with the truth without the knowledge. And they say, well, the Word of God says this, and that's sufficient to me. The Word of God says, and the wicked shall go to hell. My friends, as well as it says, the righteous shall go to glory. But I was brought up on this word. And I say it in all simplicity, and I hope humility. I remember in those early days, I had to say to one, and this is where I stand, until I'm told by God's own lips that he has chosen me, and there's nothing else will comfort your soul. No matter what anybody will do to boost up your old nature, or lift it up and make it palatable, that you're such a good person, you go to the Lord's house, and you wouldn't be missing from the services, and you know a lot about the Word of God, and you sing the hymns of praises, and you mix and mingle with good people, and so do people who go to hell. But if the Lord should write the sacred truths of the gospel and of the precious finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ into your soul, and that by sacred application, and you'll be granted the grace and the faith to lay hold of it and to possess it, my friends, the truth of those things will indeed be your comfort until you're taken to glory and to see him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And ye shall know the truth. There seems to be such a blessed, well, there is an authority. It's the authority of the Son of God. And there's such a sacred emphasis. And there's such a sacred comfort here. Because every vessel of mercy shall know the truth, not know about it. You can go to a college of theology and sign up for 5 years, and you can have all this in your head, and you can argue doctrine and word and so on, my friends, but the truth that's spoken of here is not to be held in the head, because there is no comfort there, but it is to be known by experience and walked out as well and rested upon, and it will be the strength to your soul. And no college of theology will never teach you these things. But you'll be put into the school of Christ, and you'll have a knowledge of yourself, and that will be distressing all the days of your life. Fresh revelations of that fallen man will bring sorrow and sighing and groaning and complaint before the Lord. But oh, the truth that it is in Jesus be revealed. And then there will be that sacred and blessed experience of being right. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, we read also as we came down the chapter, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And as we read down, we come across these characters who called themselves Abraham's children. They were Jews. Their posterity was from Abraham. And they could look back. They could look back in the scriptures of truth to the days of Abraham. And they were Abraham's children, they said. and on that ground they felt secure. That is not the ground to stand on for eternity. If your nearest and dearest in your family circle was a very gracious character, that's not the ground to stand on. It's what it is to you, is this truth. And of course they showed themselves by what they said, and how the Lord Jesus Christ very solemnly revealed what they were. Resting on tradition, resting on ceremony, resting on works. The dear apostle was such a man. In his old nature, in his unregenerate state, he speaks of those things as touching the law blameless. And there he rested, so far as he was able to. But he carried on and he said, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And it was when the truth was made known to him, when the eye of faith was opened, when he began to see with a different eye, and when he began to feel with different feelings, and he began to understand that from a new nature, not from the old, he knew where he stood. And so he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of the body of this death?" But I must come to this blessing of the truth that shall make you free. And seeing it, my friends, oh, I can't for a moment but say this: you are a blessed people who love the truth. And I believe somewhere it says, "And buy the truth and sell it not." You are a blessed people whose soul is so important, so necessary, so needful, so burdensome to you, that the truth and nothing but the truth you will be satisfied with. There's plenty, my friends, in the day we live, I suppose it always been, who seem to have that confidence in what they do, and their attendance on a place of worship they would hold as being sufficient. But it is not sufficient. This blessing here, my friends, is on not what they have done, but what is done for them. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We say every one of us, by nature, we are in chains, and that is in the unregenerate state. And then a child of God can be in chains as he is molested and tempted and tried by the powers of evil. And he can't extricate himself. He can't get out of these chains. And we read that gospel word in Isaiah, where the Spirit of the Lord, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ's own words, where he will bring deliverance to the captives. My mind went sometime, not sure when it was, but my thoughts went to that chapter in this gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ is called to the graveside of Lazarus, chapter 11. And there was the body of Lazarus, bound hand and foot in grave clothes, buried, and he had been dead by then 4 days. But the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to those dear sisters of Lazarus was this: "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And I just want to say this before we go on, that when he came to the grave, we read he And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Now that is what this truth will do. This is what this blessed text and promise is all about. This loosing and being let go, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, my friends, what do we know of the truth that is in Jesus? What do we know savingly of the truth about Jesus Christ? We shall be bound hand and foot in grave clothes till we do. There is sadly no deliverance from any other source or way. The person of Christ and the finished work of Christ is the way of freedom. It is the way of liberty. Until that day comes when the Blessed Spirit will reveal the truth and apply the truth, that is how it is. And surely too, the child of grace, as he goes on in the way, even from the blessing of this deliverance, my friends, as he goes on in the way, will come again into those times when he seems to be in prison. There is a psalm. It's getting towards the end of the book of Psalms, and the last verse of the psalm is this: bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thee. And if you're where that psalmist was, you'll have to say amen to his view of things, because you can't bring your own soul out of prison. No matter what you would accomplish or do, it is of the Lord. As we read, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So it is only as the sacred word of God is made a blessing, it is only how the Spirit of truth shall take of those things of Jesus that shall bring this freedom from those chains. What is it that a child of God will be delivered from? Well, while he walks here below, he will be bound to a body of sin and death. He won't get rid of that burden or that chain till it is laid in the tomb. But those mercies and blessings which are in Christ, upon which the Spirit of truth will graciously draw you to and apply it into your very soul, the truth of them, those are the things that shall set you free from this body of sin and death. That is, it will be the evidence of the new nature of grace, and it is that new nature of grace that is free, and that shall go after the gospel and the blessings of the gospel, and shall rest safely and securely upon that truth of what it is in Jesus. If you but for a moment consider what it is, what we said this morning, those dear souls who are convinced of their sin, how will you and I be free from that? You'll never be free from a body of sin until you are removed out of time into eternity as a child of God. But what of the burden of sin? What of those condemning sins that affect the conscience and bring sorrow and distress to your pathway and soul? My friends, would you not be free from the sense of the condemnation of those sins? Every sinner is condemned by his own sins, and living and dying in that condemnation And again, which is also exceedingly solemn, isn't it? That if you are without Christ, you will be without hope. But if you are without Christ and without hope, you are without life. And a person who is dead in trespasses and sins does not know what it is to be condemned by his own sin. And neither does he know what it is to be hopeless until he enters into eternity, or until the spirit of grace and of supplication be found in him. Oh, now the freedom from the condemnation of sin. Let me quote again the apostle's words. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And oh, those words. And it is a most sacred time, you know, but a child of God shall come there, brought there by the Spirit. And what place? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That is the place where these souls that are blessed with a view of Christ Jesus, and I mean a sacred view and a saving view of Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And my friends, it will be known by revelation. It will be shown by the Spirit of truth, and faith will receive it and lay hold of it. You shall know the truth. This blessed person of Christ, you that feel the indwelling sin, you that feel that night and day you have the trouble of sin. The trouble in your soul is that because you're a sinner, and the trouble in your soul is because it's been revealed to you. You find those characters who are dead in trespasses and sins, and it's a foreign language and they don't understand it. But a child of God understands it, because it is charged home to the conscience that he is a sinner. But that fountain which was open for sin and uncleanness will bring you into freedom, and will bring you into liberty. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This promise, this double promise concerning the freedom of the people of God, that freedom which is known in its new nature, not in its old. And this freedom will bring peace. Just the same as the dear man Lazarus, when he was in the tomb, that final word, loose him and let him go, it brought him liberty. And you know, while you and I know ourselves to be sinners and fall under it and suffer because of it, there isn't any liberty. But let me say this to you too, my friends, when you approach the majesty of heaven, and I mean this, of course, by the exercise of prayer, it's presented to you as an obstacle, as a hindrance. The prophet wrote, did he not, but your sins have separated you from your God. Oh, my friends, even whilst we may attempt by the Spirit to indeed seek the Lord's face, sin stands before us. It's presented to us. And the powers of evil will be indeed content to distress a praying soul by keep revealing sin and keep bringing those poor souls under the bondage of it. But oh, when by living faith you can, as it were, plead your cause like this, and tell him Jesus died, then you'll have the freedom, then you'll have the liberty, and then you'll have the peace which passeth all understanding. And the truth shall make you free. The truth about his precious blood, Oh, the knowledge of it is in the Word of God. Is the knowledge of it in your soul? Is the knowledge known by sweet experience, by revelation? And again, using that other word I keep using, is it a knowledge by application? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, there's nothing, my friends, like a freeness of the soul when his sin is removed. Nothing. Just the same as we mentioned this morning again about the Jews in Goshen. They were bound to taskmasters. They had that tale of bricks to make. They were under the whips of taskmasters. Their work was made harder. First they were given straw to make bricks, and then to make the trouble a double trouble, they was to find straw and still make the same quantity of bricks. And they knew the whip of the taskmaster. The taskmaster of a child of God, you know, is the law that was given to Moses. And it demands total obedience. It demands that every soul born into this world shall keep that holy law. And just the same as those slaves in Egypt, my friends, you'll prove it's an impossible task. And you'll come under the whip of the taskmaster, and you'll find the chains of that bondage irksome and distressing and painful. We look again at the provision that the Lord made for Israel. It's an old story, isn't it? But it's a most sacred story, because there's deliverances in it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that blood of the Passover lamb was their freedom, was their liberty. And the truth shall make you free. No more taskmasters, no more whips, no more bondage, no more tailor bricks, no impossible adherence to the law of Egypt now. They were set free. They were to go on their journey to Canaan. They were to be placed in a wilderness which turned out to be 40 years of travelling through a wilderness. But they couldn't put a foot in that path of the wilderness, you know, till they were set free, and the Passover lamb's blood set them free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And oh, here again, as the Old Testament is so full of examples and types, and types and shadows they surely are, of good things to come as it's declared. Is it not a type of the precious blood of Christ? Because the precious blood of Christ, and the Lord grant us absolute reverence of spirit, my friends, far exceeded the type. Far exceeded the type. The blood of the Passover lamb set them at liberty, and so they could leave Egypt, and they could begin their wilderness journey. But what did the blood of Jesus, what does the blood of Jesus do? It does something that the Passover lamb couldn't do. It brings them into freedom, my friends, but it washes. It washes. And there isn't a stain. There's not a stain. That precious blood can remove the very stain of sin. How do I know? Well, I hope by experience, but I also know by the Word of God. And you can trace in the Word of God those dear souls who have had their sins forgiven, or they have come under, as every child of grace will come under, the knowledge of the truth of sin forgiven. And if, and not, it is not an if, as if it was a doubtful if, but as it's recorded in the Word of God. And the Apostle brings us to the knowledge of it when he wrote to the Hebrews, and thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. Good man Hezekiah could write of it, for peace I had great bitterness, but he has in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, for he has put all my sins behind his back. And the Apostle John wrote concerning the blood of Jesus that it cleanses from all sin. Oh, this is the freedom that you'll pray for if you know the bondage of sin, and if you know the condemnation that sin brings to the conscience. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But then again, my friends, I have to say this according to experience. Sad thing to say, you know, but it's truth nevertheless. You'll learn what the poet says. Daily I'd repent of sin, daily wash in Calvary's tree. Oh, is that an exaggeration of the knowledge of sin within? No, it is not. I can only speak for myself, my friends. I have to beg for pardon every day. And the truth shall make you free. Oh, that sacred truth of the precious blood of Jesus. And then the sacrifice of Jesus. You may say, well, you're getting things around the wrong way. Well, I never was an orderly sort of character in a pulpit. I have to speak as I was and led. But oh, that sacrifice of Jesus. That God so loved the world, and this, the old free willers used to quote this, don't they? Or did do. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but should have eternal life. Well, there's nothing wrong with that text. It's where it's misquoted. But if you and I are the whosoever's that are recorded there, there shall be a laying hold of the sacrifice, that the person of Christ in human form, the Son of God and Son of Man, came for the purpose of an offering, and that offering was himself, and it was in the place of his people. God will mark iniquity on everyone that's drawn breath in this world. Oh, he certainly will. But for his people's sake, there is this blessed provision made in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we might put it like this, he stood in the breach. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. There was no other good enough, my friends. Not the best of men could lay his life down for another, because the best of men are sinners. But the sinless and gracious Son of God, that sacrifice and that alone is the acceptable offering before his people. There he stands. May you say it, may you lay hold of it by faith, as it is revealed to you, and as it may be sacredly applied to you. Oh, that you might see in him that he stands as your surety in the place, room and stead of you, that the child of God cannot be marked by the judgment of God against evil, because the only begotten Son of God was marked. There he stood as the sacrifice then. I read those words, whether it was this morning or yesterday evening, I don't know. Pilate's, and perhaps it was yesterday evening, in the same gospel, I think it's in chapter 18 of the gospel, where he was brought before Pilate. And we read this. Pilate said, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And he went on to say, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" This is the truth, my friends, you can stand on. This is the truth you can rest on. This is the blessing which has made the dying bed a comfortable spot. This is the blessing, the truth that is in Jesus as the sacrifice that has been the comfort when they've drawn their last breath and the redeemed soul has flown to glory. Oh, there's nothing more sacred, my friends, than the truth about Jesus Christ as a sacrifice. Oh, how it shall make you free. That he died for his people is not to be disputed. That you and I may have the truth of this made known to us, and there you'll see that it is safe and well for your soul for time and eternity. It will be sought for by you. It's a good sign, my friends. It's an evidence of spiritual life to seek for the knowledge of this truth. But it is a truth that can't be removed, neither can it be taken away. It's a truth which, once in the conscience and upon the spirit, my friends, will bring peace to that soul. But again, it's the knowledge of this truth that you will find the warfare of the old man against. Because the old man will live on his works. The old man will die on his merits. And yet the child of God will rest upon the finished work of Christ and die on the merits of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's a freedom, my friends, which the saints of God will come into, the knowledge of this offering, this sacrifice, this wonderful blessing that the poet puts, "Behold a scene of matchless grace, 'tis Jesus in the sinner's place. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of the sacrifice, the truth of his precious blood. And then to my friends, this union which is between Christ and his church. It is an indissolvable union. The marriage union is but a very poor example of that union. It is often said, and it is rightly so, the word of God tells us, doesn't it, that the marriage union is very descriptive of that union between Christ and his church. But marriages are dissolved, and I don't mean what people mean today. Death will separate husband and wife. And in that sense, the union shall be broken. But you know, going back to that word of the apostle where he writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation," the latter part of that chapter speaks of no separation. And I thought of that hymn, "In union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. The truth shall make you free. The truth of this union, the truth of the union that cannot be broken, cannot be severed. And this is the mercy too, my friends, that sin can't sever it. And neither can either the way in which a poor sinner sometimes is found to bring a separation between him and his God. What do I mean by that? My friends, when you have to confess the Lord, to the Lord, that it's not him that has gone away, it's you that have gone away. When it is by your own sinfulness and foolishness, there seems to be a distance between the precious truths that you have known and the blessings that you have known and the comforts of those blessings now. I go back to that 51st Psalm where the dear psalmist David, that psalm of true repentance. Oh, think of the things. Meditate on the blessings that he prayed for. That he should be washed from his sins. That he should know again the blessings which he did know. My friends, we can bring by our walk and pathway a separation from the comfort of the blessings which are in the person of Christ. But oh, we come back to, my friends, to this truth also, that there can be no separation. That's a wonderful word. You read the closing words of that 8th chapter of the Romans. That's a wonderful word, you know. And the dear apostle was so led into things of which nature would say would make a separation. I said the other day, was it here, I don't know, concerning the word of the Moabitess damsel Ruth, in the midst of those words which she said, entreat me not to leave thee, and so on, where thou goest I will go, where thou lodgest I will lodge, thy people shall be my people. But just after that is this, thy God shall be my God. And I've never seen it quite like it before. All those other things could be dissolved. They surely could, my friends, but the truth of those words can't be dissolved. You can lose, I mean, I'm sure she did in due time. Ruth and Naomi were sisters in grace. But I'm sure of this, that the time came when Naomi was taken to glory. Well, she may have lost her sister in grace, but she never lost her God. Thy people shall be my people. You can lose them all, and you will lose them all in due time. But the truth of those words, and thy God, my God, brings a union and a blessing that is again indissolvable. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, may it be so. May it be so. You that sorrow over sin, and I would that we all did, but you know what it means to sorrow over sin. May you have that blessing that has brought freedom and liberty to you through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus, that indissolvable union. And the truth shall make you free. It doesn't matter what anybody will tell you. If the Spirit of truth writes the truth upon your very spirit, my friends, there's not a power in hell can remove it. You may be distressed as you go on the way, though you may be blessed with such blessings. Undoubtedly, you'll have times when you need this word to be refreshing again and strengthening to you and comforting to you. But tell the Lord of his shells. Oh, lay the word before the Lord. What he has said, those two indisputable shells. There is power in those words. There's authority in those words. They reveal the person of the Trinity in the blessing of the souls of the Lord's people. They shall not lose the blessing. They shall not fail to know the blessing. They shall come into the enjoyment of it, not once nor twice in their journey of life, until they're taken home to glory. And the truth shall make you free.
Will, there will be a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and a pastor is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. There are closing hymns 989. Captive souls in fetters bound, who feel your misery, the way to liberty is found, the sun shall make you free. Hear the Redeemer's gracious call, poor captives, come to me, into my arms for freedom fall, come and I'll make you free. The souls who are by Jesus freed, no more shall bondage see. From sin and death they're free indeed. Dear Saviour, make me free. Hymn 989.
Thank you.
mercy through another of thy days. Oh, we are ashamed of our unbelief. Lord, despite that, thou hast appeared. So honour and glory belongs to thee. Bless thine own word of truth. May, Lord, each in thy time come into the experience of the truth of what we have sung and what we have read. Lord, what blessings there, eternally so. Now take us home in safety, Lord, and abide with us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.